Psalm 51 for our text this morning, and we will be reading some new verses, verses 10 through 12, as we start a new section this morning. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Well, we have divided, as you know, this exposition of the 51st Psalm into six divisions. First, an earnest plea for forgiveness in verses 1 through 2. Then confession of sin, verses 3 through 6. An appeal for cleansing, 7 through 9. Prayer for inward renewal, 10 through 12. Holy resolution, 13 through 17. And prayer for the prosperity of Zion, 18 through 19. In the first part of our exposition, an earnest plea for forgiveness, given in verses 1 and 2, David cries out for forgiveness. He appeals to God's inherent attribute of mercy. Deal with me according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And his plea for mercy was a threefold appeal for forgiveness. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. In the second part of our exposition, confession of sin, given in verses 3 through 6, David lays his heart out before God in confession. He expresses his deep sense of sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me, facing me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned. In verse 5, David digs deep, and he traces his sin back to its origins. He was born in sin with a corrupt nature. He inherited this from his parents. His very heart was depraved and corrupt. And he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David confesses that his inherited sinful nature was the very root cause of all his actual sins. In verse 6, he acknowledges how God requires truth in the inward parts, in the hidden recesses of the heart. God desires truth within. David sees his heart to be corrupt and vile. And he sees and feels the strong contrast between his own heart and what God desires. He was born in sin, but God delights in holiness and righteousness. God looks upon the heart, and he requires truth. And there's a great contradiction that David is confronted with, and the reality that only God can make a pure heart. David now sees that God must change the hidden part of his soul. It must be the work of God. In the third part of our exposition, an earnest appeal for cleansing, given in verses 7 through 9, David pleads for cleansing. He prays, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Now, the use of hyssop, this branch, was used to sprinkle blood. And David looked beyond the Old Testament rites and ceremonies of sprinkling blood. They all pointed to the Messiah to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sprinkling of blood with hyssop was only a type and a shadow of the shed blood of Christ in His sacrificial atonement on the cross. For it is indeed the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. "Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." To be whiter than snow is to be washed in the blood of Christ. To be whiter in snow is only possible by the imputation of Christ's righteousness, which we spoke about. When God looks upon the believer, He sees the imputed righteousness of Christ, and its radiance is whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David, because of his sin and his unrepentant state, had completely lost his joy. And this verse speaks of David's miserable condition. The bones which thou hast broken. David compared his deep conviction of sin and his guilt of conscience to the pain of broken bones. David does not just want forgiveness. He desires joy and gladness. Make me to hear joy and gladness. He earnestly desired that God would put gladness in his heart once again, that he might experience the peace of God once again. Hide thy face from my sin, verse 9, and blot out all mine iniquities. This is the third time David is praying for forgiveness in this psalm. In verses 1 through 2, he prays, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. In verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And in verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. It reveals that the guilt of sin and a smitten conscience before God is not easily removed. And David is very persistent, and he is earnestly persistent in pleading for forgiveness. And that's where we left off last time, in verse 9. And so today we begin the fourth part of our outline, prayer for inward renewal, which is given in verses 10 through 12. And in this section, there are three requests. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. This prayer now is turned towards sanctification. It is a prayer for sanctification. So David passes from the subject of justification to that of sanctification. The two aspects of salvation, which are inseparable, which go hand in hand together, and you can't have one without the other, is sanctification and justification. We must understand that the work of salvation is one work, and therefore we cannot separate sanctification and justification. And there has been a host of false doctrine that has derived from doing just that. We cannot have one without the other. Now, briefly stated, justification is that doctrine where God pardons, accepts, and declares the sinner to be righteous based upon the work of Christ, based upon the righteousness of Christ. And Christ's righteousness is put to the account of the believer, imputed to the believer, and this is apprehended by faith. It's a legal act, a legal transaction before God. It's complete, it's definitive, it's once and for all. Sanctification, on the other hand, is the impartation of righteousness. In the work of sanctification, God is making the sinner righteous. And He is reflecting His moral character in the believer's life. God is conforming His people to the image of His Son. It is an inward renewal, which begins with regeneration and the implantation of spiritual life into the soul of man. It begins with the breaking of the power, of the reigning power of sin. A thing that David is acutely aware of. It is a process in which God separates us from the world. He works holiness in the life and in the heart. He purifies the heart. It is an enabling power to mortify the deeds of the flesh and the vivification to walk in the Spirit, to put on those spiritual virtues, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And above all these things, love, which is the bond of perfectness. Sanctification is a biblical necessity, and there is no salvation without it. For everyone who is justified is necessarily sanctified. Paul writes in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The without which refers to holiness, which no man shall see the Lord. So in a very broad sense, we can divide this psalm into a twofold division. Verses 1 through 9 deal with justification, and 10 through the rest of the chapter deals with sanctification. Prayer for the forgiveness and pardon of God, and prayer for the renewal and restoration of the heart. Pardon and purity. And these are the two great needs of every human being. Now, after David's earnest prayer for forgiveness, there follows now this prayer for renewal, for the renovation of his heart. Verse 10 brings out David's desire for sanctification, a thorough renovation of his nature. He says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. We cannot find words better able to express such a deep desire for holiness. David is praying for nothing less than a radical transformation of his heart, which is expressed by the verbs create and renew. He's praying for a radical change of the heart and spirit. He searched his heart and he came to the conclusion that he was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did his mother conceive me. His very nature was sinful. And if God didn't change his heart, he'd only sin again. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David was not merely content with forgiveness. It's not enough that God forgave his sin. He didn't want to fall back into sin again. David was now aware of the real problem, that his sinful acts sprang from a sinful heart, and this would cause him to sin repeatedly before God. If God didn't deal with it, he was aware that his sins of adultery and murder came from the very depths of his heart. He sinned because he was a sinner by nature. And therefore he needs inner renewal. He needs the creation of a pure heart, the renewal of a steadfast spirit. He desires to be free from the power and pollution of indwelling sin. The God that created the world, the God that created man, he must come and do this thing for David. A true child of God is as earnest for sanctifying grace as he is for justifying grace. David prays, create in me a clean heart. Create, bara, presupposes the almighty power of God. It's a word that is used strictly of the creative power of God. It is the word used in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By the word create, David asks for nothing less than a miracle. This verb describes what only God can do to create ex nihilo, that is, out of nothing, to bring into being what did not exist before, to make the heart clean and pure, is necessarily a created act of God. It's a sovereign act of God. David is praying for the omnipotent God to change his heart. He can't do it. It takes the omnipotent power of God to make a clean thing out of an unclean thing. God created the world by the word of his power, and by the word of his power, he creates us anew. The spring of a holy life can only come from the creative, life-giving power of God. We note the preposition in me. Create in me a clean heart. It is literally to me or for me. Create for me a clean heart. Clean here means a pure heart. A morally and ethically pure heart. To be delivered from the pollution of sin. David is begging God to do this for him. You see, it's a gift of God. And he does not deserve it. And clearly this teaches us that repentance is a gift of God. It's not a work of man. David acknowledges that he is entirely indebted to the grace of God. Create for me, Lord. Please create for me a clean heart. God can make an unclean heart clean. This is what grace can do for the sinner. Now, David is praying the very same thing that was promised by the prophets as a gift of God, as the work of salvation wrought by God upon his people. Turn to Ezekiel 11:19. Ezekiel 11:19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart of their flesh out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Then to Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon them, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. One more. Jeremiah 31:33. You should know these passages as the great New Covenant passages of the Old Testament. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return unto me with their whole heart. David is praying for the very same things that the prophets of God did give forth as promises. Well, the second part of our text is, renew a right spirit within me. The Hebrew word translated renew, chadash, means to make anew, to repair or to restore. This renewal of spirit derives from the creative act of God. First, David prayed for a sanctified heart, a purified heart, and then for the renewing grace of God. God strengthens that which He works in us. Now, the term right spirit means steadfast, firm, and constant. Within me is literally in the midst of me. My entire being and all the faculties of my soul, the will, the mind, the understanding, the affections, the conscience, my heart. Within me. David is praying for a heart so strengthened and established and firm that he will not again fall into sin. Steadfast in faith, able to resist the temptations of the devil, to abide constantly in the ways of God, firmly grounded in God's grace, keeping His commandments. If we are to be strong, it can only be by the Lord and in the power of His might. God forbid that we should try to stand against the wiles of the devil in our own strength and the temptations of the flesh in our own strength. Oh, that God might give us a steadfast spirit to stand strong in the Lord. Now, you might have been thinking, does not asking God to create a clean heart within him imply that David was not saved? Or that he lost his salvation? And not at all. This is the way of true repentance. David prays for renewing grace. Renewal implies that he had possessed it before. The essential principle of a new nature had not been lost, but had greatly diminished. It had declined from a warm and heated fire to a smoldering cinder, but not yet completely snuffed out. And let us learn from David that by our sin, we can hinder, impede, and interrupt the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. We can quench the work of the Spirit of God in our hearts. Does not Paul tell us in 1 Thessalonians, quench not the Spirit? A present imperative. Don't quench the Spirit. Keep on not quenching the Spirit. It's easy to quench the Spirit with our sin, with the hardness of our heart. One sin leads to another sin. The heart becomes hardened and hardened. And there's no work in the heart. There's no sanctifying work by the Holy Spirit. No, this in no way implies that David was not saved. It shows the struggle of a true believer. It shows the way of true repentance. Oh God, create in me a clean heart and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me, he'll pray. Renew a right spirit within me. I want to close with this text. Matthew 5:8 in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There's no verb in this. Blessed, the pure in heart. Happy, makarios, happy are the pure in heart. This refers to inward holiness, the very thing that David prayed for. Not an outward show of religion. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. I take, for they shall see God in two ways. First, in this life, they shall commune with God. or eyes shall be opened to see the invisible things of God by faith, His truth, His justice, His mercy, His goodness, and the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to commune with God and to live in communion with God. But also, and probably more to the point, eschatologically, that is, at the end of the world. A vision too wonderful for us to experience in this life. To see God face to face in the kingdom of God. To live with Christ in the new heavens and the new earth. I think if we separate justification and sanctification in the gospel, and we ought to be careful not to do that, because if we make people believe that being saved is just having your sins forgiven, we give them a half of a gospel. He that is not sanctified is not justified. And are you praying for a clean heart as David prayed for? Are you praying for a steadfast, firm spirit as David prayed for? Are you praying for the increase of that blessed work of the sanctification of the heart by the Spirit of God? That work which God has already begun in you, and it will continue by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:6 states, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you, begun is aorist tense, God has begun to purify your heart. He's begun a good work in you, and He will perform it. That is, He will fully complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is the work of sanctification. This is the work of God cleansing and purifying the heart. I want you to turn to that great chapter in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and the discussion with Nicodemus. John 3, verses 3 through 7. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, or from above, is from the Greek. Here Christ is emphasizing a regenerated and purified heart. As we've said earlier, that there are two parts of salvation, justification and sanctification. Christ is not referring here to justification. It is the heart that He is emphasizing. To the natural man, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Christ says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And the natural man is blinded to the true state of his heart. And until God awakens you to see the wickedness of your heart as He did to David. Oh, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. There is no salvation. When Christ said to Nicodemus, your heart must be changed by the Spirit of God. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born from above. When Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born of water and of the Spirit, He was referring to the promises of the prophets that we read. especially Ezekiel 36:25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart, the hardened heart out of your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. You must be born again. He that is not regenerated from above will have no forgiveness of sins, no remission of sins. You cannot separate justification from sanctification. Christ never did. The two go hand in hand together. And here he speaks of a changed heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me is the prayer of David and should be the prayer of everyone who has come to the conviction of their sin and that they've offended a thrice holy God and they have their utter need of these to be delivered from their sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, Father, there's much to learn from this psalm and much to apply to our lives. We pray, make us to know this psalm in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.